You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, good morning to you, and a happy moist Thursday.
Ugh.
We're going to jump right into the show as the Jussie Smollett case continues to unravel.
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford, off the U.S. 60 and Mesa Drive.
Yeah, unravel may be a bit of an understatement. Despicable and shameful. Those are just some of the words the Chicago police chief used to describe the alleged hoax orchestrated by Empire star Jussie Smollett. He's now in custody after turning himself in this morning and is facing a felony charge of filing a false police report. And in a news conference that just wrapped up, we are now learning why Smollett appeared to stage the attack.
Yeah, that was one of the initial questions, is why would somebody create, by the way, such an elaborate hoax? And to be fair, it's still to be proven in some way, shape, or form, right? I'm not aware that Mr. Smollett has admitted to all of this yet, but the evidence seems to head in a different direction. And Chicago police just wrapped up a press conference, and they think they know what's behind this entire hoax.
Smollett attempted to gain attention by sending a false letter that relied on racial, homophobic, and political language. When that didn't work, Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process. And why? This stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary.
It's about money.
Wow. Okay. We'll leave Chicago's reputation out of this, but it appears that he thought in some way, shape, or form that being the victim of some sort of
hate crime,
racially, sexually, politically driven
hate crime
mm-hmm. would help him in contract negotiations.
That he was standing to make some sort of personal financial gain from all of this.
Really?
And talk about the elaborate aspects where this letter was apparently sent to the set of Empire, kind of crude, with magazine letters cut out.
Right, and like you see the
threatening, homophobic,
ransom
racial,
letter, right.
You know, things along a racist.
And then this
and the crushed up aspirin.
White powder in it, which they, you know, call the hazmat team over. Turns out to be aspirin.
And when that didn't get the attention that he apparently thought it should, he then stages this elaborate attack with a guy who was on the set of Empire at one point in time and his personal trainer, these two brothers who police are now saying phone records show that he was in contact with the brothers before and after the attack and while they were abroad. And those two brothers, well, they're singing like birds right now. And I think that...
Does anybody else see Milli Vanilli when you see those two brothers? Does anybody? I'm the only one that saw Milli Vanilli.
Just blame Vanilli. It on the rain.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that there's a bigger discussion to be had here.
Okay.
And it's concerning to me. Jussie Smollett ruined his career at this point in time. He was an absolute threat within the entertainment industry with his acting abilities. And man, the guy can sing. And why did he do this? He did it for money. But he had so many of the boxes checked, the hot button issues mm-hmm. of today that mm-hmm. he wrapped up, allegedly, in this hoax. And that would be gay. All right.
Okay.
So
okay.
LGBTQ community.
Sure. Yeah.
Black. So you have the okay. racial aspect
racial
of it.
Component.
As we have all these, you know, blackface stories that are making their rounds. We also have the politically motivated with the, you know, this is MAGA country that
okay.
he said
Red
the
hats.
Attackers apparently said. And the disbelief of what the media portrays to people these days. Because when the story first broke, there were a lot within the media, rightfully so, that were reporting on it. It was so outrageous and outlandish. And now that he made it up, you've got others that are looking at this going, see, it's fake news. It's fake news.
And therefore, anything yeah. that's negative is fake. I saw somebody trying to say, you see, because Jussie Smollett lied about this, the Mueller report is fake. I'm like, where the hell did you connect those two things?
Yeah, that's a big jump. But
boy, you pulled something on that stretch. Careful.
I think, you know, What concerns me about this, Bruce, is we've had other high-profile stories that, you know, our station, as well as all other media outlets in the country, had been fixated on for quite some time, only to find out they weren't true. Take a look at, like, the Rolling Stone UVA article about a rape on campus.
Yeah.
They had to yank that because it was discredited and it wasn't true.
But we I don't know what the timeline is, but these things come up relatively often, where the initial story, Duke lacrosse,
yes,
you know, insert outrage here.
And those two stories, I feel, really hurt women that were victims of rape
specifically
on campus, mm-hmm, and just in general. Like, mm-hmm, they were now seen through a bit of a skeptical lens because these stories were huge and they weren't true.
Not true.
Is that going to happen in this situation as well? Are you going to have other hate crime victims that don't come forward because of the scrutiny that this situation is under? It's something that I've heard a lot of discussion on, I tend to believe, and it's something that the police chief in Chicago is afraid of as well.
I'm also concerned about what this means moving forward for hate crimes. Now, of course, the Chicago Police Department will continue to investigate all reports of these types of incidents with the same amount of vigor that we did with this one. But my concern is that hate crimes will now publicly be met with a level of skepticism that previously didn't happen.
Huh?
That said, Smollett was treated as a victim throughout this investigation until we received evidence that led detectives in another direction.
Yeah, so they were moving down the path of he was a victim right until the evidence said this is not adding up, for lack of better terms. These do not appear to be true. This is not consistent with the evidence that we have. And you would worry that. And you're right, Pamela, that Jussie Smollett did a disservice to
real victims.
Black, gay, whatever. Victims of actual targeted hate crimes, if you will, by faking one, and therefore potentially having the chilling effect on the next person saying, if I come forward and if my story is as fantastic, and I don't mean that in a good way, but, you know, so outrageous, will people think I'm making it up as well?
It's a concern, and I think it's a legitimate one. And this is I don't know, like, I'm struggling with this because it's about money. What did he think he was going to get? Sympathy from creating and staging this hoax? A hoax,
it,
Bruce.
It makes him a different kind of star?
He is a young black man,
yeah,
who wanted his alleged attackers to put a noose around his neck.
Right. The detail of the of the attack is disturbing. Well, let me put it this way.
I mean, the connotation of that in history is just chock full of hate.
I don't think he was a household name. He is now, for all the wrong
reasons. All the wrong reasons.
I had not heard of Jussie Smollett until this happened. And now I know about him, but the only thing I know about him is he apparently faked this. So you see, that's what he's famous for now.
Sure. You know, I had watched Empire for the first, like, two or three seasons, and then I got bored with it. So I was familiar with his face. I didn't know his name. It's a name now that a lot of people will know, and like you said, for all the wrong reasons. But I want to ask our audience, I want to get you guys involved in this discussion as well. I am not a member of the LGBTQ community. I am not a young black man, yeah, in America, or a young gay black man in America, as is Jussie Smollett. But my thoughts are that this could set some people back. The real victims may, mm-hmm, struggle to come forward after this gets so much attention. Agree, disagree. Give us a little insight into what you're thinking on this case. 602-200-2733. It is our open mic line. Will this hurt the black LGBTQ community and the likelihood of being believed? 602-200-2733. It is our open mic line, and it's brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
I think one of the things that I take from it as well is that people are using this as an example to prove or disprove something else that is completely unrelated. Jussie Smollett made this whole thing up.
Okay.
just like they made up the charges against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I'm like,
oh,
where yeah. did you get that again? Where? How
We're
did
always
you?
Gonna have people
how
that make
did you do
these
that?
Strange
there
leaps.
Are individual instances. Yeah. There are individual facts with them, and the facts of this case apparently do not support any of his claims.
They're trying
full
to
stop. Period.
A couple
that
of
has
things.
It has nothing to do with anything else. You can want it to. I get it, but it just doesn't. Sorry, not sorry. The lead brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 in Mesa Drive. Online at burgeford.com. We have some like I need to tell you some major weather, some storms, including how about this? Snow days for school in Arizona.
Woo!
What a time to be alive. We're going to talk a little bit about the weather. Iris Hermosillo is going to join us from ABC 15 and give us the update on that.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You don't need me to tell you that the weather is... it's a little bit out of control right now. We knew this was coming, though. We had plenty of warning. I like it when we say it's a 100% chance of rain as you are currently standing in rain.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Puddles up to your ankles. But while we're getting rain here in the valley, we're getting some pretty amazing weather just to the north of us. Joining us right now, ABC 15 meteorologist Iris Hermosillo is with us. Iris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you enjoying the rain and the cold?
You know what?
I had to find my umbrella this morning.
Of a break every once in a while. We get sun the other 360 days out of the year. I'm all right with it.
Right. We'll take it while we can.
We want to start and taking a look at some of the pictures, the video, the reports that I've heard. How unusual is this storm? I mean, it seems like a big one to us, but put it in perspective for me.
This is going to be a significant storm, and we could see some record-breaking snow amounts in the high country with this storm. So the forecast is potentially 1 to 3 feet of snow along the Mogollon Rim, and that includes spots like Flagstaff, where we could see 2 feet of snow. Payson could approach that 3-foot mark. So this, again, is going to be record-setting. Flagstaff, for example, for this date, the record for snow on this date is 9. Hold on, I'm looking at my numbers.
Oh, yeah.
24. Sorry, it's 10 inches today, right? So already I've seen a report of the Flagstaff Airport getting around 10 inches. So I think we've already tied the record, and there's much more on the way. So record-setting snow. And then for the valley, we're talking potentially some record rain if we get some of those forecast amounts that we're looking at, potentially topping an inch in some spots in the valley. So the record for Phoenix Sky Harbor at the airport, 0.73 inches of rain for today. I'm forecasting between 3/4 and an inch and a quarter. So it's very possible that we'll see record-breaking rain. So that in itself is going to be significant.
We're talking to ABC 15 meteorologist Iris Hermosillo right now on the KTAR Newsmaker line. And Iris, I've already gotten the Facebook messages from friends of mine. Hey, it's going to be an epic weekend up at Snowball. We're going to leave early Saturday morning, head up there so that they can get some runs on the mountain with all this snow. For folks listening right now, that are enjoying the rain here in the valley, but are now kicking around the idea of hitting up Snowball on Saturday or loading up the family truckster wagon with the kids and heading up north to see some snow this weekend and play in it and build a snowman. What are conditions going to be like on Saturday morning for folks?
So I think your best bet is to hold off until Saturday to travel. You don't want to travel today, obviously. And then even tomorrow, that snow is still going to be coming down through at least midday. So you can expect that the conditions are still going to be a mess. It's going to be hard for crews to keep up with this. So my advice, don't travel today. Don't travel tomorrow up into the high country. And then Saturday, I think in the morning, it's possible we could still see some slick conditions, not because of snow coming down, but because of just some of that leftover snow from today and tomorrow. So I would advise that you check in advance with ADOT. They've got their phone that you can call in 511. Call in just to make sure. But I think if you wait, maybe you leave the valley around 8 or 9 o'clock, you should have a safer drive up the I-17 up into Flagstaff. But know that there's going to be a lot of people probably doing that. So maybe give yourself some extra patience as you're also heading up to the high country.
Iris, we appreciate your time this morning. That's ABC 15 meteorologist Iris Sarah Maceo. I got our buddy Craig, listening in Prescott, rhymes with biscuit, sent me a picture. Look out his front door.
Love it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Amazing.
You
snow everywhere.
I was in Colorado this past weekend, and I was talking to a family on one of the gondolas. They were from Connecticut, and they were talking about, you know, snowboarding and skiing. And they're like, where are you from? I said, Arizona. And they're like, oh, wow, you know. And you go snowboarding a lot? I'm like, I learned how to snowboard in Arizona.
Yeah.
The look on their face,
they're
like,
wait
a second.
Like, huh?
You learned in Arizona. What, did you learn on, like, sand or something?
Yeah.
Like, people don't realize that just a couple hours north of the valley, you have Flagstaff and you've got the mountain and it snows and you can go skiing and snowboarding. And it's just funny how people don't. They don't think about that when they hear the weather forecast of, like, winter weather in Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico. And they're like, Arizona?
Well, even if you're not going through Flag, which I think we all can acknowledge heading up to 17, you're going to run into some serious weather. If you're going to Vegas.
Vegas got snow.
Not only is it snowing in Vegas, but I just saw reports, because I just drove through Kingman on Monday, that the 40 freeway through Kingman is closed in areas. They're closing it at times to run the snow plows through, and then, like, the police are escorting vehicles through. They have on-ramps and off-ramps closed in downtown Kingman because of the amount of snow. So I'm just, if you are driving north out of Phoenix, careful. And the ADOT app is outstanding, and their Twitter feed's outstanding. Keep you updated.
And even when you're driving home this afternoon with the rain that we're going to have
on
Valley
right here in the Valley.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that as well.
Without a doubt. So, apparently, there's a guy.
Always a guy.
Wearing a Ku Klux Klan hood with a swastika, showing up on Valley doorbell cameras. Is this a hate crime? We're going to talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It's a thing now. More and more of them. Heck, we see the videos from them all the time. These video doorbells, video surveillance lets you know. And just so you're clear, if you don't have one, they are, the one I have, how's that, is motion activated. So somebody doesn't have to ring my doorbell. They just have to walk up near the front door and I will get an alert. And my camera will turn on, for lack of a better term. So I can see who's doing this. So we've heard about, remember the guy who was licking?
Oh, jeez.
For
Why
hours.
Bring that up?
Remember that guy? Like, for hours. He got
so
caught
disturbing.
Licking the doorbell?
Yeah.
Well, we have something else here. Dare I say more serious than licking. Right here in the valley with someone caught on the door cam.
Yeah, and they've been caught on this door cam dressed up.
Okay.
No, not dressed up as, like, you know, their favorite Disney characters or anything along those. No, these
not
are
Aladdin.
Horrifying, hateful symbols.
Okay.
We have an Anthem homeowner, and their Ring doorbell camera last week captured someone wearing the whole Ku Klux Klan garb, hood and all.
Oh, okay.
With a swastika above the eye holes, kind of like in the middle of the forehead.
So you have a Klan hood with a swastika.
Oh, yeah.
Full,
yeah.
Okay.
And then the other person that was caught on camera with the Ku Klux Klan garb guy, it kind of was like blending a couple characters here. It appears to be a character from the movie The Purge, which I have never seen, and I don't want to see, but
yeah,
I know the concept of it.
Yeah. Costume, yeah.
And kind of meshed it with a member of like a rock rap band, the Hollywood Undead.
Okay.
So the KTAR News Department called Phoenix Police and talked to Sergeant Vince Lewis about this.
The concerning part of this is obviously the garb is historically symbols of hate, the white hood, the swastika, that whether or not the wearer understands the meaning and message behind that, that is very obviously meant to threaten and intimidate.
Okay, so, you know, I don't want to make more of this than it is, because is there a chance for this to rise to the level of some sort of a hate crime? Doesn't there have to be intent in there?
Well, that was the thing. So a lot of the stories that we were reading this morning had said that the Phoenix police are now looking for these two people in a possible hate crime investigation.
Okay.
And my question was, well, what crime has been committed?
Right. What is the crime? Ding dong ditch?
Because
remember just, that? You guys remember ding dong ditch?
Just because you're an idiot. And that's what I will call you if you dress up as a Klan's member with a swastika on your forehead and some meshed up character of the Purge. You're an idiot. Okay, but what's the crime in being an idiot? Ringing the doorbell? So when the KTAR News Department got in touch with Phoenix Police, we got a little bit more of a clarification as to what they're looking at right now.
There's a difference between a hate crime and a bias incident. Clearly, the wearing of the garb and the ringing of the doorbell and running, it's more or less a bias incident at this point. We still have to establish what the crime is if there is a crime. But because the symbol is being depicted there, just the act of concealing their identity, not wanting to be caught while they perform this, really, it's a nuisance behavior. That is of concerns.
Yeah, ringing the doorbell and running away is nuisance behavior. And again, if that is a crime, I might be doing life from as a little kid running around, ringing doorbells and running away. Granted, they didn't have videos back in the day, right? You just had to wait for the homeowner to run outside. Who are you, darn kids? Get off my lawn. But I have difficulty buying into the hate crime argument unless you can show me that either the person whose doorbell they were ringing that they target them specifically because they were black, Jewish. Do you see what I'm saying? That they wore a Klan outfit or a swastika
to intimidate
the person in the home. We learn from the reporting of it that the man in the home is a white male. He doesn't fall in any of these classes. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to need Scotland Yard. Stop me if you've heard this before. It's probably going to be a couple of neighborhood kids that thought this was funny.
To keep it in perspective, what they did was they showed up once, rang the doorbell, and ran. I don't know if this is indicative of something else or something larger. That's why our detectives are looking further into it. If that information is out there, we would love to have that. But we want to keep this in perspective at this point. Simply running, ringing the doorbell and running, wearing what they're wearing may not be indicative of a larger issue because this is only the first incident that we know of.
Yeah. I think we need to be careful. There's a boy that cried wolf in there.
Yep.
We need to be careful in labeling everything a hate crime. I still think there's a certain measure of this, and I'm not 16 years old anymore. But I wonder if you went and talked to teenagers today, I just have this feeling, and I have a feeling just based on anecdotal information, that things like the Holocaust, the swastika symbol, Klan hoods, are part of like ancient history for them and don't hold the same symbolism. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they are unaware, gleefully ignorant and unaware of kind of maybe the depth of hurt that those symbols can represent for people.
You really think?
Yeah.
That teenagers don't know the depth of a swastika or a hood. Could you make that same argument then in the 80s? Did teenagers know the harm and the hate of painting their face black?
Maybe that's a good example of it. That there are, I won't say every generation, but when you get so far removed, decades removed, generations removed from certain things, the meaning of them, the value of them, gets watered down, gets diluted.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean by that? I mean, I'm certainly not encouraging anyone to wear a hood or a swastika, but if you're 16, 17-year-old doing this and ringing doorbells, I find it hard to believe that you are really steeped in American or world history and understand what those are about. I mean, I'll be shocked if they are. We specifically chose the swastika because we believed in the Nazi nationalism. Like, no, you have no idea what it means. You just know that people are offended by it. Go down that path. Should Arizona schools, the Arizona public schools, be able to ban kids, ban them, if they haven't been vaccinated? We talked about this briefly, and we've got some people lined up behind this saying, you can make your decision, we'll make ours. We'll talk about it coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
You could argue that, thankfully, we don't have a measles outbreak in Arizona, but there are some states, Washington specifically, that have measles outbreaks, and they have been blamed on, tracked directly to, a lack of vaccination. The anti-vaxxers, not people whose children are medically unable to get a vaccination, not those with some sort of religious exemption, but people who choose to ignore science and believe that vaccines cause autism. They also believe that Bigfoot lives amongst us, the earth is flat, and the moon's made out of green cheese. Now, in Arizona, the question is, as the anti-vaxxers, the anti-science crowd starts to grow, should they be allowed to send their unvaccinated children into school?
It's a question that is also being debated down at the state capitol. Right now, we find out that, you know, Arizona is ranked among the top in the country for exemption rates this past year. Wow. A lot of these personal exemptions. Yes, you could get a medical exemption.
Yep.
Your immune system's too weak. You can't get the shots for some reason.
You have a doctor's note.
A religious exemption and a personal exemption, just meaning I don't feel like it. Arizona is one of those states that parents are allowed to say.
It's like how you say that. I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like getting my kids vaccinated.
I'm a hard no.
I'm a hard no on that. And we live in what the Public Library of Science Journal calls a hot spot for a measles outbreak. Mm. Even though we don't have one right now, like you just said, you know, you got the Pacific Northwest that is having these kinds of situations. And so should that law be changed? Should we make it a requirement for students to be vaccinated, shy of a medical or religious exemption, take away the personal exemption in the state of Arizona? Well, the superintendent of public instruction, Kathy Hoffman, talked to our newsroom, and she supports immunization as a matter of school safety.
I strongly believe that any child that can be vaccinated should receive their vaccination, because this is both a health concern as well as an academic concern. And as superintendent of public instruction, one thing I'm concerned about is if there is any kind of outbreak, such as the outbreak that we've been seeing in the Pacific Northwest and Washington State and Oregon, then those children would miss school, and it would also cause teachers to be absent from schools.
And she's not just talking about a hypothetical kind of situation. She's talking about something she's actually seen.
I've also worked in a school district. I worked in the Vail School District in 2013 when there was a whooping cough outbreak, and students and teachers missed school. And so I've seen it firsthand, and that's why I'm taking a strong stance on this.
Vail, if you're not familiar, southeast of Tucson down there. Shout out to Eric, who tweeted me, Pamela.
Now, what did Eric
St. James. He said, start calling anti-vaxxers what they really are, pro-diseasers. You know, vaccines have made a drastic and amazing increase in the quality of life of humans all over the planet. Vaccines have eradicated some diseases that used to kill humans by the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. Vaccines are good. Full stop, period. There's no but on the end of it. There's like, well, what about that one time when the one guy got the vaccine and then the kid got autism? It didn't happen. That is not based in science. It's based in your opinion. And if you don't believe in science when it comes to vaccines, don't ever take your kid to a real doctor ever again. Because you know what they use at the doctor's office? Science.
Well, you know, you've got the anti-vaxxers, or as Eric
pro-diseasers.
Calls them, pro-diseasers, that argue that it should be a matter of personal choice, an individual choice. The government shouldn't tell me that I have to mandate my child getting these types of vaccines. And it blows my mind that, you know, my grandmother, for instance, was like, wow, there are people that don't want to get these shots. Like, you know, the amount of people that were sick with these communicable diseases when I was growing up because we didn't have the vaccines, and the people that died because we didn't have, like,
vaccines are a good thing to people that lived through, the times when they didn't have them, and people died of mumps and whooping cough and measles.
And I also think that it's a bit selfish because I have a friend whose child does, in fact, have autism.
Okay.
And because of her immune system, she can't get these vaccinations. She's allergic to certain aspects of them. And so her body is susceptible to it. So when you don't vaccinate your kid, you're putting her, who can't get the vaccinations, at risk. So we want to ask you on the open mic line, should schools ban unvaccinated kids? You don't want to vaccinate your kid, then homeschool them. Right? You got options in the state.
Yeah.
Is that what we should do? Should schools ban unvaccinated kids in Arizona? Give us a call on the open mic line. Let us know what you think about that. 602-200-2733. 602-200-2733.
So have you ever, said something out loud or texted something to a friend and all of a sudden you start getting ads for that thing? You start seeing it everywhere? Is your cell phone listening into you? Is it spying? We're talking about that next.